Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Red Sox Hall of Famer Bobby Doerr has passed away. He was 99 years old. The second baseman played all 14 years of his career with the Sox from 1937 to 1951, with the exception of 1945, when he served with the United States Army in World War II. Doerr was also the hitting coach for the Sox during their 1967 Impossible Dream Team. In 1986, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Here he is speaking in Cooperstown.
I thank God I could grow up in a country that I could choose a profession I love so much. Growing up, I had hoped I could become a major league ball player and then hope I could play in an all-star game and a World Series. Being inducted to the Hall of Fame today just tops off all the nice things that ever happened to me in baseball.
There's a lot of nice things that happened to him, too. 2 years later, in 1988, his number one was retired by the Sox. Joining me now to remember Bobby Doerr is Dick Flavin. He's the poet laureate of the Red Sox. Mr. Flavin, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It is an absolute delight to have you. Also with me is sports writer and Red Sox historian Gordon Eads. Gordon Eads, it is a delight to see you once again. Welcome.
Thank you.
Of course, I'm sad to say that we're coming together over the passing of Bobby Doerr, but let's spend some time remembering him. I was looking at how Bob Ryan described Doerr today, and he just comes out and say it: best Red Sox second baseman ever. Agree? Disagree?
I agree. Absolutely.
What made him such a great player?
Everything. I mean, he could do everything. He was a wonderful fielder, a really solid hitter, and just a steady influence on everyone else on the team, particularly on Ted Williams, who needed a steadying influence.
You know, one of the great stories, and Dick, you're well acquainted with it, of Bobby and the impact he had on that great team in the 40s, which probably should have won the World Series, and we shouldn't have gone 86 years without winning a World Series, is that, Ted referred to him as the silent captain of the Red Sox, and he truly was a confidant for Ted, that oftentimes when Ted was upset about something and they were on the road, that he would ask Bobby to go for a walk. And he'd only ask Bobby. I mean, that's the kind of confidence he had in Doerr.
Well, Ted, had no real growing up period in his life. His parents were missing most of the time, and he was like a wild animal, an uncaged wild animal when he first came up. And Bobby was a steadying influence on his life. Ted didn't have many leaders. Bobby was Ted's leader.
Meghna, David Halverson, who of course wrote The Teammates, and he used a wonderful phrase to describe Bobby. He said that he had uncommon emotional equilibrium. I think if you look at the tributes that have come pouring in today from guys that either knew Bobby when he was a coach or from his visits back here, over and over again you hear the phrase, he was about the nicest guy I ever met, including Danny Ainge, the general manager of the Boston Celtics, the NBA Celtics. Danny, of course, was a baseball player at one time and with the Toronto Blue Jays, and Bobby Doerr was a hitting coach for the Blue Jays. And Ainge said, he was my introduction to baseball, and he's the nicest human being I've met in 40 years of professional sports.
And Dick, Gordon just mentioned David Halberstam's book, The Teammates, about that famous trip that you took with Dom DiMaggio and Johnny Pesky to visit Ted Williams. I just wonder, could you tell us more about that trip?
It was Bobby was not on that trip. Bobby's own wife was dying at that point, and so he stayed at home in Oregon while we made the trip. We drove down from Boston to Florida, and the reason we drove was it was right after 9/11. We didn't want to get all messed up with the security in and around Logan Airport. It was so interesting, that trip down there. We never turned the radio on once. It was that interesting. And then, of course, when we get down to see Ted, once we get used to the fact that he had become an invalid at that point, it was terrific. And Ted would constantly test us on what we knew. He was an interesting character. He was always pushing people.
Yeah. You know, I really want to just talk for a moment about how Bobby Doerr was as a player, because as I've been sort of catching up today on his considerable skills, I mean, we talked about his dominance as a second baseman, because he played second base every game that he played for over 14 years at the Red Sox.
He did, Magna. And I mean, his bona fides are unquestioned. I mean, he was a 9-time All-Star. He drove in 100 runs or more.
Yeah,
six
not too
times.
Shabby at the plate.
No, particularly for a second baseman. He was the Red Sox leading hitter in the 1946 World Series, hit over 400. But again, it was typical of Bobby's character. So when asked what his greatest thrill was in baseball, he mentioned Ted's game-winning home run in the 1941 All-Star game in Detroit off of Claude Pasa. Well, 2 years later, Bobby actually hit a home run himself in an All-Star game in 1943. Walker Cooper threw him a hanging curve. Doerr said, I'll always remember that pitch. But it was typical of Doerr that he would cite something that Ted did as his favorite moment rather than something he did.
Now, he had to retire in 1951, right? Bad back?
Yeah, bad back. Yeah.
He was. It was a cold night in Cleveland in April. He came into field a slow roller. He felt something give in the back. It got so bad he wound up wearing a corset, couldn't even bend down to tie his shoes. So that cut his career short at, what, 33 years old?
33 years old.
He had to hate that, right? I mean, he could have played for longer.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 Well, we actually have another clip of Bobby Doerr speaking. This is in 1952, so the year after he had to retire. And it's from, I love this clip so much, I can't even tell you. It's from the This I Believe series from Edward R. Murrow. Bobby Doerr did a This I Believe, and he talked about his decision to retire. And this, I think, it just encapsulates Bobby Doerr, the gentleman.
Another belief very important to me is that I'm only as good as my actual performance proves that I am. I thought of this when in the season of 1951, I told my teammates that I would not play in 1952 because I realized that I wouldn't be able to give my best performance to the people who would pay my salary by coming through the turnstiles. For me, most of the satisfaction in any praise I receive comes from the feeling that it is a reward for a real effort I have made.
It's Bobby Doerr in 1952. What is it? What do you feel when you hear that?
Well, one of the things I feel is I'm very impressed that your staff would have pulled out an interview with Edward R. Murrow. That's the first time I had ever heard that. But again, I think it speaks to what Dick was saying about how he was such a beloved teammate and the fact that he was always giving credit to them before himself.
You know, when I was growing up, he was the favorite player of almost everyone that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Ted was in another category. His talent and his personality and his faults were so supersized that we couldn't identify with him. But everyone that I knew practically had a Bobby Doerr model glove. And he was great, and he was Ted's favorite player too, because Ted looked up to him so much.
Yeah, you know. So they came close to a World Series championship in 46. So when they finally won it, Bobby Doerr was what, 86 years old the year that the Sox actually won World Series. I mean, did any of you have a chance? Either of you had a chance to talk to him about it when they finally did win?
Well, they did give him a World Series ring.
They did.
As they did with Johnny Pesky. Yeah. And, of course, he was thrilled, as was anyone who had ever worn the uniform.
Yeah.
But, you know, at that point in his life, man, Bobby loved Oregon. He loved living on a river in Oregon. He loved to fish. That was one of the things he and Ted had in common. But one of the things, and I don't use this word lightly, but that kind of made him noble in many ways, is his wife, Monica, and that was almost a storybook romance. She was teaching in a one-room schoolhouse in Oregon when he met her. She was stricken with multiple sclerosis still in the 40s when he was playing. It went into remission, but then in 1967, when he was the hitting coach on the Impossible Dream Red Sox, another pennant-winning team, she collapsed in the middle of the street in Boston. The disease had come back. She spent most of the rest of her life in wheelchairs and then suffered a couple of strokes. But Bobby Doerr, he made a pact with his wife that they were not going to treat her as an invalid and that they were going to live life regardless. But he took such glorious care of her. That was the reason he didn't make the trip with you, Dick,
that's
right?
That's exactly right.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I think that's a beautiful anecdote about sort of who he was as a man to end on. Dick Flavin, poet laureate of the Boston Red Sox, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Gordon Eads, Red Sox historian, always a pleasure to have you, Gordon.
Thanks, you.
Man. Both of them joined me today to remember Bobby Doerr, legendary Red Sox second baseman who died at the age of 99. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.